I invite you to pray along with me. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you. Amen. Please do be seated. Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Hallelujah! Oh, you people are so good. That makes me so happy. Well, folks, here we are again. Thomas Sunday. Good old Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas really could be the patron saint of modern people, couldn't he? Thomas was reported to have been a twin, and it's possible that he was an identical twin. If that were the case, he would be no stranger to mistaken identity. He would have known how easy it is to be wrong about something, even when it's seen with one's own eyes. He just couldn't take the disciples' word about having seen Jesus alive. He wanted proof. He needed to be sure. Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have seen and yet have come to believe." Friends, that would be us. We didn't make it to the empty tomb. We didn't see the angels, didn't hear Jesus call us by name in the garden. We weren't in the upper room with the other disciples when they got to see Jesus. When we hear the gospel stories, we can often identify with the characters. And I wonder how many times we enter into that, and like Peter, for example. Have you ever been Peter overcome by fears when things get tough? I have. What about being brave like the women who stayed despite the cost? I like to think that maybe I've had a little piece of me in doing that, but being brave is costly, and it's hard to step into. So maybe we've all done a few of those things sometimes. But I think most of all, we all share similarities with Thomas. We have doubts, and we want proof. Me being the nurse, I struggle with this. It's very difficult to get my scientific nursing brain around theology. I'm in constant battle with it. It's like a fight going on in my head all the time, knowing that theology is not science. It just isn't, but that's how I was trained. So that is something that I'm always trying to live into, the theology and the faith. Faith is so hard, or it can be hard. Most of us long for the accuracy in the stories about Jesus so that we can feel safe and secure, the kind of proof that one can really sink one's teeth into, indisputable and understandable from our human perspective. But that's not what we seem to have within our gospel stories. My friends, faith is super hard work. It's disorientating and chaotic, humbling and awe-filled, all at the same time. If you're anything like me, my preference is to create a neat and tidy package of understanding about God in my head. I'm always trying to do that. But all I ever manage to do is produce a package that looks like it was wrapped by an inexperienced buffoon, and that's the truth. And one that certainly would never stand up to the rigors of Canada Post. Yet, as a faith community, we long for that neat and tidy package that will build our faith, help us believe when we're in crisis, and keep us going over the long haul of discipleship. What we get from the Gospels are stories filled with conflicting accounts. Some people see only the empty tomb. Some see an angel or two. Some see Jesus. Some talk with Jesus. And some only recognize Jesus when he breaks the bread. Everyone appears to have been caught completely off guard by the resurrection. The disciples, too, are having difficulty capturing their experience with any kind of accuracy at all. They always seem to be surprised with Jesus' appearances. They seem to be struggling to deal with how resurrection actually works. And among us, who wouldn't really? Yet Jesus comes to them in their fear, in their confusion, in their doubts. And he greets them with peace. In fact, Jesus even makes a return visit the next week so that Thomas can experience the resurrection firsthand. It is important for all of us to remember that Jesus does not come to the disciples in a blaze of glory surrounded by angels. Rather, he comes quietly. He appears to surprise the disciples, and he comes with his wounds, our wounded Savior coming to his wounded disciples. He is not all neat and tidy, but still bears the marks of his suffering, the marks of his humanity. Even his resurrected body still shows the signs of his dwelling among us. As humans, we sometimes struggle to hide our woundedness because we feel it's a sign of weakness. Yet the risen Christ bears his woundedness and comes to meet us and greets us with his peace. His resurrection gives us hope that we will be healed and made whole. When the risen Christ came to the disciples in the upper room, he brought them his peace. He breathed his spirit on them and commissioned them to live and preach his message of love, forgiveness, and peace. In the creation story, God molded Adam out of clay and breathed life into him. In the upper room, Jesus breathes the restoring life of God into the disciples, making them new people and through them, offering new life to the world. The very fact that we are here this morning, this very morning, continuing to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus is testimony to the power of the Spirit present in the disciples and in the church throughout the ages. This story isn't a vignette that's frozen in time in the upper room in Jerusalem. It is gospel, good news that transcends time and place. Whenever we practice forgiveness and mercy and kindness, that is resurrection life. Whenever violence, indifference, and injustice are denied, that is resurrection life. The good news? The Spirit of Christ is alive and well. Resurrection life is expressed again and again and again in this time and in this place. Every single time we encounter and serve one another with a heart for God. We can't prove the resurrection scientifically, but we can be the fingers that point to it whenever we see signs that the life of the risen Christ has not been extinguished. Jesus' appearance to Thomas reminds us that doubts do not disqualify us from discipleship. Jesus says to Thomas and to us, "Do not doubt, but believe." Lutheran theologian Paul Tillich, and I hope I'm saying his name right, claimed that doubt isn't the opposite of faith. Rather, it is an element of faith. Frederick Buechner, who's a Presbyterian pastor and writer, puts it in more basic terms. He says that if we don't have any doubts,
we're either kidding ourselves or asleep. He characterizes doubts as the ants in the pants of faith that keep it awake and moving. Doubts will never disqualify us from discipleship. At the very beginning of the Gospel of John, the author proclaims that through Jesus, God has brought life and light to the world. In the death of Jesus on the cross, it appeared that the powers of darkness were stronger than the powers of light, that darkness had overcome light. But through the resurrection, we are shown that the light still shines. Jesus commissioned the disciples to continue his work, to spread his light throughout the world. Their future changed through Christ's gift of the Spirit. In our baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and made Christ's own forever. We too have a new future because of Christ's resurrection. We too have been commissioned to spread the light of Christ. Marjorie Hewitt Sukaki, I think that's how you say your name, forgiveness if it's wrong, a contemporary theologian, asks us to think about the resurrection through the metaphor of the sun. She says we cannot look directly at the sun, for the brightness would blind our eyes, as we are just not suited to that strength of light. Yet the sun, which we cannot see directly, illumines all else, and in it, it's light. Light that fills the world. She goes on to say that the resurrection illumines the entire landscape of the New Testament. The resurrection is the confirmation of that which Jesus revealed in his life and death. It is the catalyst that transforms the disciples, releasing the power that led to the foundation of the church. On this April morning, when the world outside these doors has put away the baskets and the bunnies of Easter and moved on, we continue to be challenged to live as though the resurrection really does illumine our lives. We are challenged to reach out and embrace the future in faith, believing that the light of the resurrection will enable us to make our way in and through the world. We are challenged to seek peace and reconciliation, knowing it is the work of Christ and the church. And most of all, we are challenged to remember that while we may look at ourselves and as doubting Thomases, God looks at us and sees only the very best. God sees beloved children, faithful friends, and spirit-filled partners in the ongoing work of creation. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.